Welcome to the Fearlessly Authentic Sash and Soul Podcast, the show that goes beyond the stage, prioritizing a healthy mindset, overall well-being, and triumphs in the pageant journey. In each episode, we dive into the transformative power of embracing authenticity fearlessly.
From mindset mastery and self-care strategies to success stories that inspire, this podcast is your go-to guide for navigating the pageant world with confidence and resilience. Join us as we embark on a journey of self-discovery, empowerment, and celebrate the stories of those who fearlessly embraced their authenticity on the path to pageant success. I'm Lila Sherry.
And I'm Rayanna Johnson. Welcome to Sash and Soul. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of Sash and Soul.
Already episode 4.
It's a good day. Today is a beautiful day. You know, we sat here struggling with what in the world we were going to talk about when we first hopped on this call with each other an hour ago. We were both like, haven't had my coffee yet. I don't really know what I want to talk about today. And now we're really excited because we've got a great topic.
And a lot of caffeine.
Oh, yes, the caffeine. I've had my amino energy this morning. And don't worry, AJ's bringing me more coffee, I asked.
Well, at the same time, today is also a beautiful day. It's the launch of our first episode. So this is kind of the timeline that we're in right now. So you all won't be hearing this for probably another month or so. But today was the day that our first episode came out, which is also really exciting. And there's also feelings with that. And so just a lot, there's a lot of beautiful things swirling around right now. And it's cool to just be here and experience it all.
And it was a conversation that we were having about the launch of our first episode, the launch of this podcast, and some of the nerves that were coming along with it that sparked some of the inspiration for the topic today, which is perfect timing. How things just seem to happen in the most perfect timing. We are releasing any kind of nerves and anxiety that we're feeling today about what y'all think about our podcast.
Yeah. Yep.
Because the anxiety is real. When you put so much time and energy into something and it is a passion and you're so excited about it, there's always going to be some fear of what the world thinks when you finally release it. And we have the most pure intentions of just pouring love into this. And those of you that need to hear it will. And those of you that will connect with it in a meaningful and powerful way will. And we have to release the rest.
A podcast platform is very real and raw and honest. And again, you don't find this in most other avenues of media. So I think that's why maybe it's a little nerve-wracking, but at the same time, it's everything that I feel like I've needed for a while. And again, yeah, like you said, I hope it resonates. I know it will resonate with the right people, and that's exciting.
What has the need been that this podcast has been fulfilling for you?
After becoming Miss Wisconsin, I just didn't realize how many people didn't understand the life of a title holder, the life of Miss Wisconsin. And not that it's just being a title holder, but I think that there's a lot in pageantry that goes unrecognized or unknown or misunderstood. Again, I can only do so many social media posts that are like 3-4 paragraphs long. I've done a few of those. I know you guys know that, but it just doesn't. There's just so much that people don't know. And I wish I could sit and talk to everyone and have coffee with everyone. I wish there was enough hours in the day for that. But since there's not, this is my alternative. This is the next best thing. So it's really just, it's almost a reflection of the beautiful conversations that I have with people at events or at appearances or with other local title holders or other state title holders. And those are obviously never recorded. Those are never seen again. But it's a reflection of those moments where it's like, oh, I wish everyone heard that, or I wish everyone knew about this. That's why it's the perfect platform. That's why I've needed it.
Yeah, Definitely. And I think it's important to note too that we have this very strong belief and understanding that words aren't going to teach, experiences are going to teach. So we want to be great storytellers so that our hope, thank you. Sorry, side note, husband just brought me a mug that says boss lady, feeling that. This is great. Look at that. Boss lady. Beautiful timing. Yes. We have this belief that words don't teach, experiences teach. And so we want to pour as many stories and lived experience into this podcast for all of you to connect to in your own ways. So, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the things that we've experienced that truly did come in the most amazing timing and that came not necessarily when we least expected it sometimes, but when we chose to finally let go. And that's when things started lining up.
What's the biggest example or one example that you can think of?
Right. So back when I was competing, my third time competing for the title of Miss Wisconsin, I had a very different mentality from the first two times. My first time competing, I had just turned 18. I was very green, but I was also very excited and finally felt this belief in myself that I hadn't felt for a long time. My brother, Tyler, died by suicide when I was 15. And I won my first title in the Miss America organization when I was 17. And my platform was all about talking about addiction and suicide and trying to prevent that from happening to other people and other families. So I was on this mission and I was very empowered my first year as a local title holder, because my goal was to reach out to as many people in my community as I possibly could. And I struggled with deep depression. That year was my senior year of high school. But the Miss America organization and the people that I worked with, the volunteers, my directors, really helped me come out of my own shell. And I started therapy that year. I got on some medications. And so by the time that I was competing for Miss Wisconsin that year, I was just a new light. Like I just felt like a new person. And all of that was validated when I was a finalist as the youngest competitor that year. So obviously that's going to push my momentum forward in believing in myself and like wanting to be Miss Wisconsin, knowing that, you know, if I can do this at a local level, I can do this at a state level as well. So I took a year off and then I came back. And the next time that I competed for Miss Wisconsin, I was doing all the wrong mindset stuff. I was comparing myself to others. I was like so eager to win that I was so focused on winning the pageant and not focusing on the big picture of what it meant to be a title holder and the work that I wanted to do. And that year I had a big wake up call. I was a double preliminary winner, which usually that would mean like top five potential winner. So all eyes were on me. And I was a top 10 finalist, but I didn't make top five. And that was a blow. And I needed it. It shook me in a way that I needed to be shook. And the next year that I came back, everything started lining up. I had released this tension that I had felt the second year that I was going. I had a newfound perspective. My eyes were opened again to why I started this journey in the first place. And so everything kind of lined up for me. I met certain people that I felt empowered by. I had different experiences that I learned from. And when I finally got to Miss Wisconsin that year to compete, I was in just this state of peace and excitement and anticipation, but also this deep belief that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. And I knew that I could win. I knew that I could do the job, but it wasn't everything to me in that moment because I knew I would be okay regardless. And I was first runner up. And standing off to the side of the stage with my bouquet in hand, watching Laura Kepler be crowned Miss Wisconsin and take her walk on the runway as Miss Wisconsin, I will never forget the sense of I am exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. And she is exactly where she is supposed to be right now. It was one of the most amazing experiences that I had ever had, especially because 6 months later, she was crowned Miss America. And I was given the opportunity to step in as Miss Wisconsin. So I didn't know why. I felt that peace. I didn't know why I was exactly where I was supposed to be, but I just had this feeling. And then it all kind of came to fruition 6 months later. And that's what I mean by experiences teach.
Right.
Your lived experience teaches.
Right.
So my question is, are you in your own way? I got in my own way my second year competing for Miss Wisconsin. I was focused on all the wrong things. I had this level of desperation to win rather than this ease of full, complete understanding and knowing that I was capable and I was worthy and it didn't define me, whatever the outcome was. But instead, I really felt this internal pressure that I was allowing myself to feel. That's the thing. I was allowing myself to feel all these things. That's what I was focusing on, rather than focusing on the joy, the gratitude, the fun of it all. And so this desperation caused this block from me actually being authentically myself and there for the right reasons and all that. I blocked myself. It was nobody else's fault. No one else did anything to me for that to be, I'm not going to blame the judges. I can't blame any of the other contestants. No one did anything for me to be a double prelim winner and then not make top five. Actually, I talked to one of the judges later. We had coffee together and he said, you know, I was a big fan of yours, but when we talked as judges, when we looked at the top 10 and we were kind of giving our overall scores and we had an opportunity to sit down and really discuss what we thought, he said, a lot of the judges just felt like there was something about you that you wouldn't be easy to work with. And that was eye-opening for me too, because I didn't realize that that was the energy that I was putting out there. But in hindsight, yeah, that was the energy I was putting out there. I was overconfident.
What popped up into my head is that you have to know what it felt like to feel that sense of comparison and desperation in order to know that you don't feel those things anymore and that you are over that and that you are in a different light and gravitating towards something different in your life. And so when you were saying all of this, I guess perfect timing is these beautiful things don't exist if you don't know what it's like to be without. Gratitude doesn't exist if you don't know what it's like to be without. Appreciation doesn't exist until you know what it's like to be without. And I think that's what we mean by perfect timing.
Absolutely. And I was asked recently when I was explaining, when I hired a coach, was my third year competing for Miss Wisconsin. So I had leaned on my local directors for the first 2 years competing, and they were amazing. The support that they showed me, the love that they poured into me, the opportunities that they gave me, it was everything. And then my third year competing, it was one of my directors that encouraged me to work with this coach that we had both discovered at the same time. We went to one of his presentations and we were like, yes, this is exactly what I need. It was a little bit of mindset, but a lot of learning how to communicate in a really conversational way, approaching interview from a really easygoing standpoint where you're not allowing yourself to overthink, or when you're really coming from a place of just being open and honest and true and, well, authentic, buzzword, right? But truly what that means, to be transparent and authentically yourself, but also in a skillful way where you're still articulate, you're still showcasing all of your skills that you have to offer as a title holder. So everything just like made sense to me when I listened to his presentation. So I started working with that coach my third year competing for Miss Wisconsin. And I do think that that was one of the moments that I talked about where I met somebody and it just lined up. And then I have so many examples of that happening that year. So just kind of everything was propelling me towards feeling so good at Miss Wisconsin that year for me to become the first runner up and stand off to the side in just such a sense of peace. But I was asked in this consultation, do you regret not hiring a coach sooner? Do you regret not having a coach the first 2 years of competing at Miss Wisconsin? I said, absolutely not. I needed that experience my first year of feeling so good about myself and having that sense of accomplishment. And I needed that experience the second year of being knocked down a handful of pegs. And I don't regret anything that I went through, because everything that I experienced led up to where I'm at today, literally recording this podcast. Yeah. And if I hadn't gone through those things, I would not be the person that I am today. I wouldn't have the ambitions that I have today. You have to know what you don't want to know what you do want. And then you have to avoid sitting in the what you don't want, in the victim mentality, and focus all of your energy on what you do want and the vision of that life for yourself and your worthiness of receiving all of those things in your life. And when you release that, that's when perfect timing hits. And you are sitting there like, I can see you like, just so excited to like say something. I want to know what's on your mind.
All I want to say is you are not the victim of your circumstances. You are the creator of your experience. And that applies to everything. That applies to you getting annoyed, stopping at too many red lights on your way to the grocery store, or, you know, maybe you had to wait for a car to turn, or big things like becoming Miss Wisconsin or competing for Miss America. I say a lot, thank God I didn't win my first time at Miss Wisconsin. Thank God. I wouldn't have been ready. I wouldn't have known how to navigate all the twists and turns that came after. I wouldn't have known how to use my voice. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have had the tools to be able to do what I did this year. And so it would have been a disservice. This world would have given me a disservice had I won Miss Wisconsin my first year. And looking back, you can say that about pretty much everything in your life. You can look back, and most people can look back and say, it all worked out. When you look back at pretty much everything in your life, and most people can say this, it all worked out in the end. Whether it was what you thought it was going to be or not, it worked out in a way that was beneficial to you. Or at least you can look at it from a perspective to where it was positively impacting you. Whether it was a bad situation or not, everything has balance. There's always a counter effect to everything that happens. And that includes annoying scenarios. That includes bad situations. There's always a counter effect. You just have to be attuned to looking for it. And it's a tool. It's a tool to be able to look for that yin to the yang, so to speak.
Absolutely. I do not believe in karma. I do not believe that there are forces out there that are causing bad things to happen to me. I believe that I am creating all of my experiences, and how I create those experiences is how I interpret what I'm going through. Your experience is your interpretation of what's happening around you. And so you get to choose how you experience it by changing your perspective of it. If you look at a hurdle or an obstacle as an opportunity, all of a sudden your experience of that hurdle changes in the most beautiful way. When you look at a perceived failure as a stepping stone, as a launching point of discovering more of what you do want and learning more about yourself, your experience of that perceived failure changes. And that's what's happened for me. I look back at that second year competing at Miss Wisconsin and failing. And back then I was devastated. And now I just look at it as this beautiful thing that happened to me.
It's funny because one thing I noticed after Miss America is you get a lot of text messages when you get off the stage. And a lot of them are, well, especially because I didn't make top 10, a lot of them were, I'm so sorry. You were so good. I hope you know that. Like, I'm so sorry that this turned out this way for you. And I kept
all well-intentioned.
All well-intentioned, absolutely. But what I noticed was that wasn't what I was feeling. I realized I was like, wait, I don't feel bad about this. I feel great. A lot of other girls had the same experience. The ones who didn't make top 10, they were saying like, I think that my family and my friends were disappointed more so than I was. And they were kind of projecting that onto me. Whereas I was sitting here like, what do you mean? I just had this incredibly awesome week spent with these amazing women that I would relive all over again, knowing the exact same outcome. What do you mean you're sorry? Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate this experience. And I remember me not making top 10. Obviously, you go backstage, you get on your phone, you see all the text messages from your family and friends. And you had asked me, like, how are you feeling? And I was like, well, you know, disappointed, but it is what it is. And it's funny because at the end of the whole show, I had texted you again. And I was like, what a beautiful thing it was that I just so happened to be in the perfect spot to watch my closest friend in that class become Miss America. I had the perfect view to be able to see a close friend of mine and then to be able to go run and hug her, because had I not been put in that spot that day, which was changed in rehearsal that day, my spot was changed. Had I not been in that spot, I wouldn't have been able to run and hug my friend after she became Miss America. I was in the perfect spot to do that. That's why I was there at Miss America. Like that's what I got to have. That was my gift from Miss America, was to be able to watch that, to be able to see that, and to be able to go run and hug her.
Everything is always working out for you. How cool is that? How cool that everything just lined up like that. And one of the things I texted you was, yeah, look at you. First one hugging her, like you were all over the screen, your face hugging her and being so excited for her. It was so real and raw and so beautiful for me to watch. And I have chills right now because I was just so full of pride and joy for you in that moment. It was so cool.
It was beautiful. So that is perfect timing. It's not always what you think you want. It's what you need at the end of the day. And those things are provided and shown time and time again. It's a matter of us recognizing that. And I was able to have the tools to be able to recognize that. And that for that, I'm grateful.
Yes. I want to know about, so it's Women's History Month. I believe this episode will air kind of at the tail end of Women's History Month.
Yes.
And you had an opportunity to give a keynote speech last night to a group of women. And I want everyone to hear about what that was like for you, what you talked about, and how you really wove in this idea of perfect timing and not being a victim, but the creator of your experiences.
It was one of my favorite events. I am known for walking away from appearances and saying, no, that was my favorite. And then I would go to another one and say, no, that was my favorite. I'm kind of known for being that. And I joke about that a lot. But this one was just different for me because I became Miss Wisconsin to be the representation that I truly never got to see in my lifetime. One of the first things that I had said was, I'm proud to be the first Chinese Miss Wisconsin, proud to be the first woman of color to be crowned in 20 years, and one of three women of color to be crowned in over 100 years. And so to be able to walk into an event that was dedicated to empowering women of color, that in and of itself, I just wanted to be there, let alone if I was Miss Wisconsin or not. So I got to be there, and I was honored that they asked me to be the keynote speaker. And I was like, okay, I have 10 minutes to fill my time with what I want to talk about. I didn't just want to get up there and talk about my experiences, Miss Wisconsin, or my journey. Like, this was a very niche audience that I knew needed to hear a certain kind of message to be able to resonate. And so, okay, so I had a few speakers come before me. I was already crying by the first one. So I was like, we're in this space. This is where we're at. This is good. I got up there and I started a lot with my mom's journey to coming to the United States, why she wanted to come. Much of my family still experiences the effects of communist China. And so that is always something that is at the forefront of my brain. Every time I go into work as a journalist, I think about how much of my family does not know what freedom of press is. And here I am as a journalist in the United States. So I started a lot with that part of my story, how I got to where I am. And I went through like almost each grade level. In second grade, when my mom brought me seaweed for a snack instead of in a room full of goldfish, there was a time that I accidentally blurted out the word 11 in math class in Chinese rather than English. The classic boys at lunchtime holding their noses when my mom would pack Chinese food and then she packed chopsticks. Learning in college, right, that you think you connect with somebody, but their type had to do with your race. All of these things I went through. And then I said, well, these challenges don't exist in a handbook. So what do you do now? What do I do with all these experiences that I have? And I said, I chose to be grateful. I chose to be grateful for all of the times that I've wanted to scream and cry and crawl out of my own skin all at the same time, because without that, I wouldn't know the joys of starting a Chinese cooking class to raise money for anti-bullying organizations. I wouldn't have done that, right? For all the times that I felt so misunderstood, being able to give back through mentoring another first generation Chinese student, you don't know appreciation until you know what it's like to be without. And so all the times that we're sitting here in a world of hurt, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to not have a dollar in your bank account and not know where, quite frankly, where your next meal is coming from. I remember being in college, being so grateful that I worked at a hamburger restaurant so that I knew that I could eat at the end of the day. There were times, I know what it feels like to be at rock bottom and feel like life isn't working out for you. But you know what? My final question on stage at Miss Wisconsin was, how are you going to be able to balance everything in your life? And I said, I know what it's like to not know where your next meal is coming from, to not know if you're going to get out of bed that day in college, to not know if you're going to pay your phone bill or your groceries for the week. You pick one or the other. I know what that's like. And knowing what that's like, I know that I'm capable of being Miss Wisconsin, doing the job of Miss Wisconsin and all the hardships that come with it. So while you might be sitting here in a lot of struggle right now, because I don't want people to think that us talking about perfect timing means that everything feels good all the time. It doesn't. It doesn't. You can feel like you're at rock bottom, but still believe that there is a reason why, because on the other side of those hardships is where you find purpose. That's where you find where you were meant to be and what you were meant to do. And that's how you connect with other people. So That's what I mean by perfect timing. Is if you would have said to me, 19 years old, freshly, you know, not being around my parents anymore, moved out of the house very quickly for a lot of different reasons, if you would have told me in that time, this is all working out for you, I wouldn't have believed you. But now looking back, that was what I talked about in my final answer on stage at Miss Wisconsin. If I didn't have those years of hurt and pain, I wouldn't have been able to talk that way to become Miss Wisconsin. That's a testament.
Let me just wipe away my tears over here. My gosh.
It was funny, but also like very emotional, because my mom was sitting in the audience the whole time. And every time I would look at her, I'd be like, oh God, I can't look at you. At one point, actually, during the speech, I was like, Mom, stop looking at me. I'm going to start crying. I said that in the middle of this keynote speech. Everything happens for a reason.
I'm going to edit that. I don't think everything happens for a reason. I think things happen and you create a reason for it. And here's why I say that. My brother died by suicide in 2005, and I don't believe that was in God's plan. I think it's something that was tragic that happened, and my family experienced it, and I chose to do something with it. You have a choice. You chose to make something of the things that you went through. They didn't happen to you so that you could do something about it. They happened to you and then you did something about it. We're not the victim of circumstance. We are the creator of our experience. We take what we are given and we do what we do with it. We get to choose what that is, what that looks like.
I appreciate your edit. It's not fun to think about the yucky things that have happened and think that that was for a reason. You're right. We create reason. We create purpose. We decide that we're going to use these crappy circumstances and produce light out of it. You're right. Because if I'm telling somebody who just experienced a tragic loss that, oh, this happened for a reason, that's not going to resonate. That's not what they need to hear in that moment. No, it was a tragic loss, period. And let it be that. But what can you do as a result? What can you do because of it?
I guess that's what I mean too by get out of your own way. If you're choosing to sit in it, that's fine. But you are in your own way because you're choosing to sit there. You're choosing to have victim mentality. I also want to say, love yourself enough to take that hand. I'm getting a little bit lost in my feels right now because I just experienced another loss recently. And it comes with like this desperate plea of, no matter how dark it is, like, love yourself enough to take an inch forward, even in that darkest moment. You know, when I say like, are you in your own way? I realize that can sound really harsh, especially if you're in a space where you're really struggling right now.
Right.
So I want to acknowledge that. And this is coming from my perspective of having been in extraordinarily dark places way too many times. And I can recognize and appreciate that in those moments, if someone were to say, get out of your own way, it would have pushed me that much further down. So I say this with love and empathy and compassion. Just love yourself enough. Like yourself enough. Give yourself just like a little ounce of hope to reach out for a hand that's outstretched. There's always a hand that's outstretched. As a coach, as a friend, as a human being, I can never be miserable enough to help you not be miserable.
Ooh.
I'm going to outstretch my hand for you when you're in that space. But I can't get miserable enough to help you not be miserable. That's just not how it works.
Yeah, it's the same idea of you are the GPS and whoever's driving the car still has to hit the gas and the brakes and use the steering wheel. The GPS can't do anything but show you where you're going to be. You still have to drive.
Oh, yeah. And we can reroute. We can take breaks. We got to gas up. We got to refuel. We got to take naps.
Smell the flowers.
That's all right. We'll still be back on our merry way and we'll arrive in perfect timing.
You always trust when you get in the car to drive that you will get to the destination, whether it is 2, 3, 4 hours away. You know that if you drive, you will get there. You don't stop in the middle because you think that it's taking too long.
And then turn around.
Mm-hmm. All you do is you trust that you will get there in the time that the GPS tells you you're going to get there because you're driving and the gas is going.
And notice how the GPS adjusts your arrival time.
Ah.
When there's traffic, or when you make a pit stop, or when you get a little lost. Interesting. Let's sit with that for a second. And you still arrive.
You always arrive.
I think this is a great opportunity for me to ask you to revisit that. There's something that you said to me a while back about your theory as to why oftentimes someone will win a state title when it's their last opportunity to win.
Oh my God, easy. Because they walk in there and they're like, I don't care about anything. I'm just here to have a good time. Like, let me just celebrate with my girls. This is my last shot. If I don't have a good time this year, I'll never have a good time again. Like, this is it. It happens all too often. I'm gonna share mine and Maddie's story for a second. Maddie Marsh, who is our current Miss America. But the entire week, me and her, we were just saying like, let's make this our sunset ride. And we're just going to have a good time. Like, yeah, it was tiring. Yeah, there was a lot going on. But at the same time, we were like, this is our sunset ride. This is our retirement party. Yeah, and one of us became Miss America. So if that doesn't tell you the mentality that she was in that week, that this wasn't everything for her. Obviously, she has a lot going for her on the other side of it. She was already pouring into all these other areas of her life. Again, it just so happened that you're Miss America. Let's have you showcase all these beautiful things that you've been doing. She didn't have this grip on it. And it was really beautiful to see. And that's what made it so fun to hang out with her that week, was because it was that way. She was carefree. It was fun for her.
Well, what's so exciting is that we are going to get to hear her perspective of that experience from her when she joins us as a guest on Sash and Soul.
That is going to be very exciting. So, but back to what I was saying, if that doesn't tell you anything about the mentality that a lot of title holders are in when they become Miss Wisconsin. When I was standing up there with my first runner up, Mandy, I told her, I was like, and I think she told this story too, actually, at South Central. She said something like, when we were up there, we were both saying, whoever becomes Miss Wisconsin, we're going to have a great Miss Wisconsin. And it is what it is. I remember standing up there with her and thinking, oh my gosh, I get to be first runner up. That's so cool. I get to be first runner up. It's going to be so much fun. Like, I'm going to get to stand next to Miss Wisconsin when she gets crowned. Like, truly, I truly believed that whatever happened in that moment, I was like, what am I going to do about it? And that was my mentality through the whole week. But once you get up there in top two, I remember a lot of my media interviews after, very soon after Miss Wisconsin, was like, oh my gosh, were you just like so nervous in top two? Like, how did that feel? And I was like, no, not at all. That was the calmness that I felt all week. You just let go. You have to let go. It doesn't come to you until you release it.
Oh, say more.
I'm trying to visualize it and to provide like a metaphor that's going to make it make sense, because it's a very abstract kind of way of explaining how it feels.
I have it.
Go for it.
And I don't remember if I've said this on the show yet or not, but the darkness doesn't exist. It's the absence of light. That's what it is. So you got to pull those curtains back for the light to shine in. You're the one blocking it with those curtains being closed. And once you release the curtains, then all of a sudden everything floods in, all the things that you've ever wanted.
Yes. Scientifically, darkness doesn't exist. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. Mm-hmm. I think it's like physics. It's like something to do with actual science. I'm bad at science. But someone in STEM is going to be listening and being like, oh.
You guys, just send us a message and explain to us how darkness and light work. We'll be very grateful. Thank you.
Scientifically, thank you. Yes.
The most amazing things happen when you let go. The most amazing things happen when you let go.
And releasing expectations. Perfect.
That's letting go.
Perfect timing equals releasing expectations.
Zero expectations, but preparation for anything.
Yes, always. Because you love yourself enough to know that you are going to give yourself the tools to handle whatever comes your way. We don't know what's going to come our way. We just know that we have the tools. When
you love yourself and you trust yourself enough.
It's like a mechanic. When you take your car into the mechanic, he doesn't know what's wrong with it. He just knows that he has the tools to be able to fix when he finds out what's wrong with it. I never used that metaphor before, but so I guess our overarching, what do we say to somebody right now who is in a space where things don't feel like they're working out for them? It doesn't feel like they're heading in the direction that they want to. Maybe they feel stuck. Maybe they're in that dark place that we've both been in. What do we say? What is our message to them?
You are okay. It is okay. Everything will be okay. And if you can, focus on everything you want and feel what it feels like, what it will feel like to receive the things you want, and stay focused on that. When you're focusing on what you're going through right now, that is when you stay stuck. You have to focus outward on the things that you want and realize that what you're going through right now is causing you to know even more of what you do want because you know that you're experiencing what you don't want.
You slow the momentum. You're intentional about your thoughts. You get to be an observer of your thoughts. That was always a great way for me to cope in a way. You observe what you're thinking. You don't, it is not you, right? You get to be intentional about the thoughts that you take in. That was always really helpful for me. And from there,
just reach for something better. Reach for something that feels a little bit better. You can't get from the bottom of the stairwell to the top in one leap.
Yeah.
You got to go one step at a time. So if you're in a place of despair, reach for something that feels just a little bit better. That gives you just a little bit of relief. And then once you're there, you can do the same thing again. Reach for something that feels just a little bit better. Go easy on yourself.
Yeah, lots of grace. Treat yourself like you would treat a child. Take care of yourself like you would take care of someone that you love.
We both did that recently, you and I. I thought of it because you had told me the next day, and I had literally done this probably at the exact same time that you were doing it. I had a really long day. I was just exhausted, and I just went and lay down on the couch and closed my eyes for a while. And you had told me the next day that you had done that after an exceptionally long day. And it just made me think, wow, we were just like little kids. We just needed a nap.
Mm-hmm. Like I just needed a shower and brush my teeth and lay down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Woo! So, well, with that being said, look for evidence that things are working out for you. You guys, look for evidence of perfect timing. When you happen to look over at the clock and it reads 11:11, just look for evidence of fun things happening in perfect timing. Like when my husband and I were road tripping in California and we were playing this game where we just like threw out things that we would like to see for fun. And we were driving along the coast and he said, I really want to see a Coast Guard helicopter. And less than 30 seconds, one literally flew right over our car. Look for perfect timing and have fun with it. Look for evidence that things are working out for you. And just release any kind of expectation, release your desperation, release your fear. We're going to do that with this podcast. We're just going to keep being really intentional, pouring our heart and soul into Sash and Soul and having so much fun with it. And knowing that if you are listening to this right now, it's because you want to be listening to it. And that's all that matters to us.
Because the more you recognize the good things, the more you see them, the more they come. It's going to be a really cool cycle to be in.
So fun. Cool. All right, everyone. We're going to let you go for now. We'll talk to you again next week. Yeah. Please take care of yourselves. Shower yourselves with love. Cling to those that love you. Stay well.
Have a great day.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, you guys, if you love what you're hearing on Sash and Soul and you're preparing for a pageant competition, you have to check out our free online training, 3 Keys to Winning the Crown. In this game-changing workshop, you'll discover the secrets to owning the interview and the stage with a winning mindset and humble confidence. This transformative session will empower you to cultivate a fearlessly authentic mindset and learn how to embrace your unique strengths, conquer limiting beliefs, and radiate confidence on and off the stage. You'll master the art of communication and discover powerful strategies to captivate judges and audiences with your unique voice and message. Click the link in the episode summary or visit fearlesslyauthenticcoach.com to claim your spot in this complimentary training. Your journey to greatness starts here.